Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16, on Pew Bible page 636. Hear the word of our Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. And then our gospel lesson comes from the prophet, from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36, on Pew Bible page 852. Hear the word of our Lord. There will be a sign in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things take place, you will know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious, wondrous, and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our hearts, that calls us to both hope, but also to the reconciliation of Advent. We know, Lord, that throughout the year we go astray, and in Advent we are given the opportunity to clear away the brush and make the path straight to you. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Light our path, guide our hearts and minds as we listen in this Advent season to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the countdown has begun, hasn't it? The decorations are up, or maybe they're not at home. Whether or not you count candles, we've lit the first with three more to go. I guess you could argue that there's four more to go as well. Now, as a kid, this first Sunday of Advent usually meant my siblings and I looked at our family Advent wreath and argued. We would argue over who got to light which candle, the goal being the fourth candle. Now, maybe Edie was a little smarter than the rest of us because she said, I get the third one. So she always managed to get more candles over a three-year period than the rest of us. That's what PKs do, I guess. We argue over the weirdest liturgical things. Each year, we would argue and figure out what was next. Now, we would treat these candles with a sort of reverence, if you will. Rob would defend his candle against all intruders. I lit my candle, nobody else gets to light it. I light it first, second, third Sunday. You don't light mine. Jen would be Jen. She would be very theatrical in her reading. I don't know where Barbara gets any of it. Edie, well, she had her candle. And each year, I would be that history guy trying to dig down deep into the depths of the meaning of about that specific candle. Today, we light the candle of hope, the prophecy candle. When we think of that word prophecy in the Old Testament, we think of the men whose job it was to call the people of Israel and Judah back to God. We often think of the big names, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Maybe we think about some of the smaller, less known names. But it was always, return to me. Come back to me. Now, often we think about the prophets and we think about how there's punishment involved. God says there's going to be a bad thing that's going to happen. We think about that bad, but we don't think about the hope on the back end of it. Maybe it's easier to focus on the punishment, the invasion from Assyria, Babylon, etc., 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 all for the waywardness of Israel. But every time the prophets come and say their message, there's always a final word of hope in it. Now, hope in our context, is used often. Way, way too often. When the kids ask me if Grandpa is going to arrive on Tuesday, my response gets couched in, well, I hope he does. Kind of edging my bets, so to speak. It's an edger, I guess you could say. We use it to describe things. I always think of a particular episode of Barney Miller I would watch with my parents, and there's this linguist, and he wants to charge Aunt Sally's pickles because they are the tongue-teasingest, lip-smackingest. It's a linguist or an English major, either way. Now, Barney says to him, well, hopefully we'll be able to get you processed quickly. And he says, do you mean that? Do you mean that? Do you mean you hope that you'll get me through quickly, or do you hope you'll get me out the door? The fact is, hope is so common for us that we forget that it has its own definition, its own understanding regarding our faith. Think about Ahab facing Elijah. Elijah is given the title Troubler of Israel. But that doesn't explain the hope that a prophet would always bring. Even in the face of the worst things, the prophets come in hope. Hope, at its core, has a whole element of unknown in it. We don't know when it's going to be. Hope is in something that is going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. To make matters worse, we're not patient people with hope. We don't like to have things happen in their own time. Think about our gardens. What do? We buy pre-grown plants and put them in. With our internet, we focus on getting the better speeds. I remember trying to explain to Liam about the old 14.4 modem I had growing up and how you had to throw it on, go to the program, and if somebody called the house, you had to start all the way back over. And then I get that head shake of, oh. Man, things must have been so rough. But we do that. Remember when Amazon wasn't next day shipping? Now it's, you know, you can track it. You can track everything. It's all about the instant gratification. And that's not what hope is about. It's not instant. You don't know when it's going to happen. It's such an inexact science to it. But we don't like that. We don't like it at all, especially now. I remember driving through the mountains in Pennsylvania when the GPS wasn't picking up and how crazy the kids were getting about how far are we? How much longer do we have to go? I don't know, guys. I just know we're on the road and we're going. Oh, Liam, you could see the steam coming out of his ears. Barb, scowl on her. All because we didn't know. We didn't know and we couldn't speed it up. Well, one of us could speed it up, but I wasn't going to go. Hope is where we are. We are in a place of hope, aren't we? In seminary and within theological context, we call it the already and the not yet. It's a really technical term for that place where we sit, where Christ has already come once on Christmas, and now we wait for him to come again. That's a huge place of hope. But it's also a place of not knowing, of worrying and wondering, because let's be honest, it's been a while since that first Christmas, hasn't it? And we can't speed it up. You can't go to the paywall and add another area so that maybe Christmas comes a little quicker. Maybe the second coming comes a little quicker. And believe me, people have tried to do that over the years. Hope and Christmas is a bit weird because we are in that place of hope, but we also every year celebrate that first period of hope, that first Christmas, where it's all about hope. Think about how pivotal hope is to the Christmas message and the coming of Christmas. Think about the hope that Mary and Joseph had. All of the butterflies and worries that they had on that journey to Bethlehem. All of their hope being held in God's hands. All of their hope for what could be. But then there's also, at the same time, the hope that we have that he is going to come again. Because you can't have, on the one hand, the joy of Christmas without the weight of Easter. They go together in their hope. And hope for all of us changes us. It transforms us. Because we are in hope. It's all about God's promises. God's promise first, that he will send that root, that branch from Jesse, that branch that would spring out, waiting and hoping for Christmas, not knowing that Christmas was going to be what Christmas was, but the people waited and they hoped. And now we wait and we hope and we wait. And we hope. And every Christmas, every Advent, we have our practice runs. We have our practice time where we make ourselves ready to celebrate the coming of the King. And then at the same time, we make ourselves ready for the coming of the King. It's a dry run, a practice run, every day of our lives. And so we sit in that place of hope, that place of worrying and wondering. But as we hope, we have to answer the question of how do we hope? How do we hope? Well, there's a couple of approaches to hope and waiting. The first is you get everything done and you sit down and you just wait. If you paid attention to the decorations outside the parsonage, I'll let you guess which group I fall into on the get everything done and then wait group. Then there are those of us who put off the waiting, put off the being ready, who put off and continually go along. The question for us is, how are we going to wait? How are we going to prepare? How are we going to engage with that hope that we have? That hope that not only are we celebrating the first coming of Christ, and we remember and we prepare ourselves for that celebration, but how do we live and engage every day to be ready for the day when we will see him again? How will we hope, and how will we be ready when that hope does come? Brothers and sisters, let us hope, but let us also be ready as we hope, as we sit in the already and the not yet. Amen.